All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by my colleague, Johnny Watermelon. Good morning,
Johnny. Good morning, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man.
You sounded a little feisty this morning there, talking about your buddy Donald Trump.
Well, I'll tell you something, man. I'm going to be even more feisty now because I looked at the budget, the 2023 budget and federal budget, and it's $6.3 trillion.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a guy who understands all that. I'm not. Okay. I don't have it, in my Rolodex, and I don't know the inner workings of all of it. So I went on to see exactly kind of what's going on with the budget because the Republicans want to cut it. And the Democrats are saying, well, no, because there's this thing called discretionary spending and non-discretionary spending. And 57% of the budget is non-discretionary spending. Military, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all sorts of other things, defense discretionary spending, and all that stuff tallies up to 53% of what the budget is. 53% of the $6.3 trillion is called discretionary spending, non-discretionary spending, which means you can't touch it. Whether you're Democrats or Republicans, this is already allocated. The Social Security, the Medicare, all that's already figured into the budget every year. The military spending, $682 billion of the $860 billion military budget you can't ever touch. So that's over 53% of the budget already locked in. So the other non-discretionary spending, which is where they can debate, is Homeland Security, Transportation, Agriculture, Interior, Treasury, Commerce, International Aid, Education, NASA, Energy, Labor, Justice, State, Health and Human Services, EPA, and HUD.
That's quite the list, Earl.
That's quite the list, and these are the things that the American people, many of those things, encompass our lives and what we do. But of that, there's still only about 13% that we're talking about in the end that the Republicans are talking about cutting. And those 13% happen to be, man, the education department, labor, EPA, health and human, the things that we need, to have a quality of life. Republicans want to see that cut 47%.
And why do you suppose that is, Earl?
Well, because they say we can't afford it. We can't afford it, and these are people freeloading.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they say.
The freeloaders again.
Yeah, okay. And these are people freeloading. And here's what people really need to understand. You know how we can get around this? Because the Democrats and the Republicans, they can't ever come to a solution with this. But you know how we get around it?
I don't know. You're going to enlighten me, Earl. I got a feeling you got a message here.
I do.
Okay. What is it, brother?
Raise the damn taxes.
Okay, then.
Okay. Hey, the reason we have the debt that we're dealing with is because they've been cutting the taxes.
Right.
And the wealthiest people.
Where are you going to raise them, Earl? Where's that revenue coming from?
The wealthiest people in the world.
The wealthiest 1%.
Yes, who don't even pay their
all kinds of the tax loops.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would you cut these programs?
Right. They don't, how much bigger of a thicker steak can they buy? Hey. You know what I mean? There's so much wealth in that upper tier of people. Do you think they could kick in just a little bit and get rid of one little Escalade or something?
But wait a minute, why can't they do that? Why can't Escalade? You know what are you talking about, man?
I just wouldn't do that. Maybe a Bentley.
Yeah. Hey, man, my point, Johnny, is they're talking about this shutting down the government.
Right.
Which is going to wreak all kinds of havoc. What is the guy's name? The speaker.
McCarthy.
Yeah, that Yahoo. Well, we're not going to back
Earl,
down.
Earl, you just know how to pick a fight.
Hey, listen, we're not going to back down. And we're going. And then they've got people who are in the amen corner.
Right.
Who are going to be hurt by this.
Yeah.
Yeah, stick to your guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. People like you and I on Social Security.
Yeah.
Stick to your guns.
Right.
Until they find out they're sticking to their guns.
You know, Earl, it reminds me of a game that I used to play when I was a younger man, and we would do it basically barefoot, and it was called In Between. And this is what the Democrats and the Republicans are doing, and I'm going to try to give you a metaphor here. So we would take we'd each have a knife, me and a buddy of mine, and we would spread our legs, you know, 2 feet apart.
Uh-oh.
And you'd throw the knife.
Can we say this on air?
Oh, okay. We aren't going to hurt anybody. It's just a story. Okay. So then you have to move your foot to where that knife was, and you get a little closer and a little closer. And it's really basically what it is. It's a game of chicken.
Right.
Okay? That's exactly what's kind of going on here. Who's going to flinch first? Okay? Well, you don't want to get your toe cut. You don't want to get hurt. So somebody's going to give up something somewhere along the line here. Okay? And it's going to happen, because if it doesn't, it's going to be a real mess.
Man.
And it's going to be global impact.
Yes.
It's going to be a huge freaking change for this
country.
And
you know what? It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's got to happen.
No, it's going to happen because...
You think we're going to default?
Well, yeah, man.
Dude, I sure hope not.
Because McCarthy and others and Joe Biden and the Democrats can't move off of these life-preserving... Social Security, Medicare.
Well, they're kind of dug in there. You just said something there that kind of got me going. Earlier off the air, you were telling me about how Social Security is coming, and we all know this. We see this on the news about it becoming a non-discretionary item. You know what? Keep your damn hands off my Social Security, okay? I put that money in there. I did. Not anybody else. That's my money. I would like to have it now, you know? So keep your damn hands off my Social Security.
That's spoken like a greedy guy who's already got his Social Security.
Whatever.
I'm one of them. and the younger guys like Calvin is saying, hey.
You keep working, Calvin.
Yeah. Calvin is saying, hey, we may not be getting, it won't be there for me.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, the answer is not cutting people's Social Security. It's
right.
Not cutting Medicare. There's an easy answer and solution to this. Tax the damn people who have been getting all the breaks. And Donald Trump had the nerve to fix his mouth yesterday to say, well, I think it's better if they just default. When he was the president 3 years in a row, they raised the debt limit. He was talking about we can't afford to default.
Right.
Here it is 3 years later, he's saying default. Why?
Yeah.
So when they asked him the question, well, why now, Donald Trump? He said, well, easy answer. I was the president then.
Right.
So, I mean, come on.
So back then it was a minor inconvenience to raise the debt ceiling because he was the guy in charge.
Right.
You know, so I don't recall the number, but I know it was huge. And now it's reflected back as a hindsight as, oh, well, that was just a minor inconvenience, you know. So everybody suck it up.
Yeah, well, the point is that the only way to fix this is to address the reason we got here, and that's cutting taxes, cutting taxes, cutting taxes, cutting taxes. Let me say this. I fill out my taxes this year, and it showed me, you know, if I owed something, if I didn't pay what I owed, they're going to penalize me and you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If you didn't pay the taxes that you owe, the little guy,
yeah,
he's going to, you know, he may, they're going to take everything that the little guy has.
Right. They come around with the paddy wig and lock you up, and you're done. You get three take hots and house. A cot, Earl.
Right. Take your house.
Right.
They take anything. You got anything in the bank. They take that too. You know.
Yeah.
But the wealthiest guys, they get away with it.
Yeah, well, they got.
So this is the answer. This is the solution. It's an easy solution. Charge the freaking people who have all the money, who get all the tax breaks.
Yeah, dude, you were telling me about a book you read a couple of weeks ago about something. I think Sage gave it to you, actually, about the wealthiest 1%.
Oh, yeah, man. It's
what was the title of that thing again?
It's The Patriotic Millionaires.
Okay.
Or Billionaires.
Yeah, so I think you're kind of referencing some of that dialogue, aren't
you? Well, man, that's exactly it. And I'm not just the guy who said it. The Patriotic Millionaires or Billionaires themselves say, tax us.
Yeah.
We know that we're getting breaks that we shouldn't be getting. These are the people saying this. They're younger guys and young ladies, and they're saying, listen, we don't need the tax breaks. Why are you giving them to us?
Yeah, well.
And yet there's the other side saying, no, we shouldn't have to pay this. So we can fix all of this by charging those people deadbeats. Oh, I'm sorry for those of you who, you know, have billions of dollars and don't pay your taxes. I'm sorry for calling you deadbeats. But you're a legal deadbeat because they fixed the law so you don't have to pay anything.
Yeah, well, there it kind of goes back to the whole lobbyist effort. You know, those people are not stupid. You know, that general population of that upper tier, they invest in lobbyists so that they get these rules written so they continue to generate wealth.
So, okay?
it's the best democracy that money
Johnny,
can buy,
what,
Earl.
What we need is for the average everyday Joe to push back on that. Got to go
right
to a break. 844-967-2789. Johnny Watermelon's in the studio with me, colleague. We'll be right back. Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. My colleague Johnny Watermelon is here. CJ, you want to respond? I'm sure you.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you, Earl. Johnny Watermelon, what a cool radio name.
Thanks, CJ.
Go ahead.
I can't wait to meet you someday, dude. You know, I think I actually ran into you one time in Madison.
Oh boy, what was I doing?
You were having a beer with some of the crew from Civic Media,
oh, yeah.
I think, at the Golden Monkey or something, the Brass Monkey.
Yeah, Crudy, and I bought Dom.
You actually met him, huh?
Yeah.
Turn, but
well, it was a brief encounter.
Well, that's kind of more information than
I
think.
That was cool.
That's kind of more information I think than we all want.
So
to
how
know.
About that? CJ and I actually met.
Well,
but see, we can get along, Earl.
But it's a beautiful thing, man. So, what's your thoughts, man, about the debt ceiling?
Well, see, this was a wonderful strategic move by this president, because he could have resolved it when he had control of the Senate and the Congress. It's not that our, you know, inflation is high. We know that. But the expenditures at the pace that our economy is growing, it's growing at like 0.07% right now. So anything that is, you know, and the projection that the Biden campaign puts out is that it's still using pre or pandemic numbers. Yes, the budget was increased under Trump, and taxes were lowered. But it was, yeah, but Nancy Pelosi got something for that negotiation, Earl, and it was more spending. The mere fact that he could have solved this, he's using it as a political tool, and, you know, politically it's smart move.
Let me ask you something. Is Kevin McCarthy using it as a political tool?
Well, I think they passed a responsible budget. And nothing's been appropriated. Nothing's been appropriated yet. It goes into negotiation,
let me ask you something. If they were passing a responsible budget and they haven't just even put a budget together, how do you know they're passing a responsible budget?
The Congress passed it, Earl. The Congress passed it, put it in front of the president.
Well, listen. CJ, the Republican Congress passed it. The Democratic the Democrats, none of them supported it. It was clearly not a bipartisan budget. It was Republicans who have control over the House who passed it to a man.
True, they did.
Okay, so
my point is that this could have been resolved while he had control of everything, and right now it's McCarthy passed something, now it's Biden, but he's going to play on this. Yes, he is, but you know what? Every human, do you have a grandchild, Earl? Every grandchild that you have already owes $94,000 to the federal government.
So, hey, CJ, you say this all the time. So,
at what point do you believe we should do something about your grandchild's debt?
You really want me to answer that? Let's begin. Let's begin by cutting the $860 billion military budget. Okay. So when you tell me that you're concerned about doing something about your grandchild's debt and you won't open your mouth when it comes to the biggest expenditure of all, the military budget, that we know is not ever, where they can't check it out. You know?
It's an audit.
Yeah, they can't audit it. Okay, so if you were really concerned, if you wanted me to believe that you're concerned about people's grandchildren and we've got the biggest expenditures, the military budget, and they can't audit it, wouldn't you say that you should start there?
Well, I think it should be addressed. Yes, it should be looked at along with everything. That's the point. Nothing's been appropriated. So this $2.7 trillion surplus that the Biden is projecting, that's the surplus that the Trump tax cuts created. That's part of his budget. So that was growing. The pandemic happened. You got to admit, before the pandemic, the economy was booming.
Because I think Calvin is going to have a conniption over here. I'm going to let him respond to what you just said about the $2.7 trillion.
I'm just flabbergasted. I don't understand how tax cuts reducing the government revenue results in a surplus. If you reduce revenue, you're not getting more revenue. Like, that just is an illogical statement.
Well, it's called capitalism, Alan. And you actually you bring more companies back that are hiding money overseas. You give them a reason to stay here. Biden will increase, again, corporate taxes where companies are leaving.
That's
They're firing employees.
That's more than I can take, CJ. Got to go to a break. Bring on Michael Jackson. All right. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My colleague Johnny Watermelon is in the studio with me. And Johnny,
you picked a winner here. Yep, I knew you were going to say his name.
George Santos.
What a stand up citizen you got going on here, Earl.
here's a guy who has always got this smile on his face, like the Cheshire Cat. Like, hey, man, I struck it rich, man. I mean, you think about, here's a guy, man, who has zero character and was able to flummox all these people into voting for him. Lie from, you know, the time he was able to begin to speak, he's been lying.
Yeah, well, he's been in a lot of trouble for a long time, and I think it's coming home to roost. When I heard that you were thinking about talking about him, I kind of chuckled a little bit because, you know, a lot of Republicans came to the defense of this guy early out of the gate. And, of course, as information becomes available, you think you'd have a little bit change of mind. But I'm thinking some folks still think he's as pure as a driven snow, and these are all just allocations that's a witch hunt, and it will go away. You know, it's just such a crock. They're just such a bunch of hypocrites, man. It drives me absolutely crazy some days.
Well, you know.
So tell me about George.
He's got many Republicans who support him, and they support him because he is critically important in the numbers game. You know, when it comes to voting, and they don't want to lose the leverage. He's a critical number in them being able to pass their agenda. And so even though they know that this man is got some real challenges, you know, he got some real challenges, doesn't matter. They have to accept. I don't know how that must feel. And that's why I could never be a politrickster, man. I could never be a politrickster because I could never, knowing that the guy I'm standing in front of is just lying. Unless I'm doing a lot of lying myself, right?
Does that remind you of some other Republican fella that's kind of going for the Republican nomination?
Yeah, man.
Maybe a couple other folks?
But here this guy is, and he's been telling all these people, about he's been mistreated. And then yesterday, I guess, when this finally hit him, he knew it was coming. But when they finally arrested him, I'm sure that's when it dawned on him. Hey, otherwise he's just playing the game. He's thinking he's going to get away with it. And then when they came to arrest him and took him to jail, reality struck because that smile he always has on his face was wiped off. And now he's going to have to face the music. Let's go to Bill from McCullum Walk. Hey, good morning, Bill. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Morning, Bill.
George Santos.
Good morning. George Santos. Isn't it amazing? There's a certain amount of Americans that believe honesty, integrity, diplomacy, and just good character is important. Then there's a certain amount of, I don't even want to call them Americans because they're not even loyal to their country. They believe honesty is not important, integrity is not important, diplomacy is not important. Winning is everything to them. When people realize you're going to be making a choice with all these people, like, say Santos. Well, we all know he was a clown show the minute he came in. It was he's exactly cut from the same cookie cutter that Trump came from.
Oh, amen, brother.
When Trump came in, we all knew he was a career criminal. Why would we want him? Of course they tried to get him out of the office of presidency. They knew he was a threat to our very country. We knew his past history. He didn't develop his history while he was a president. No, he had the 26 sexual assaults, the 11 bankruptcies. The only thing he acquired as president was two impeachments. And America is not that stupid. They don't like being lied to. And when they're lied to and they realize they're lied to, oh, my gosh, their vengeance, their distrust of these people is forever. So I really don't think we have to be ultra-concerned. The last poll I showed that only, I think it was 29% of America believed in Trump. 29%.
Bill, clearly you didn't see the show last night, right?
No,
the CNN interview.
So the point I'm making is don't believe that only 29% of Americans support Donald Trump. That number is a lot higher than that. And that's the fear. The fear is people who say that they don't support him kind of do. They just don't want to say it publicly.
But even if they kind of do, many of my friends and many former Republicans are now becoming in your face for democracy, not necessarily Joe Biden, but in your face for democracy. And they will challenge their former friends who still haven't changed. I mean, I went to breakfast with a bunch of them about a week ago, and what do they bring up? Bud Light. I looked at them and I said, you guys worry about Bud Light when our children are being murdered in their schools?
Yeah, right.
That's important. Who drinks what beer? I said, first of all, you don't know. I think you got played like a fool on Bud Light because that's called reverse advertising. You get the name out there, and pretty soon it's got so much name. I was with a group of people the other day, and I said, how about a round of Buds for everybody? people are having fun with this, and these people are being laughed at.
So.
Now, yes, they're dangerous. You're right, Earl. But the thing is, because of you, because of Civic Radio, because of so many other people, you can't dumb down that many people anymore. You just can't.
Bill, I hope you're correct. I hope you're right that these people who are still supporting Donald Trump, and I still believe that the numbers are a lot higher than 25%, that, you know, unless they have a come to Jesus moment themselves, you know, I'm mighty afraid for where this thing is headed. Thank you very much for the call. So, Johnny, you were saying about Santos.
Well, I just kind of think it's kind of, you know, it's so hypocritical and just so, I don't want to say across the board, there are some decent Republican legislators out there, and they're good people.
Few and far between.
Yeah, they are, unfortunately, you know, from my point of view too, Earl. But this is a typical slice that shows the amount of acceptance of corruption and just, it's just a horrible, horrible place for this country to be going to have these kind of guys in office. And how they get there is sometimes baffling. It makes me shake my head that the constituents, these fine people that came out of Ripon, Wisconsin, you know, the grand old party, are backing these people up. I mean, what do they got to get to have a message or an epiphany for the light to go on?
Well,
you know?
So my thing is, they talk about Hunter Biden, they talk about all this stuff.
Yeah.
You see Santos, you see George Santos. He's another guy who is out before the world Everybody knows what he's done. Not all, because they're going to dig down and find even more. But the fact that he could even be supported, right?
Right.
How can you support people who you know are lying?
Well,
it's one
Earl.
Thing if I don't know about the lie, you can't blame me for not knowing.
Yeah. Well,
but if I know you're a liar and it's been documented,
yeah,
and I'm supporting you in the face of that, is where I have my consternation.
You just don't like him as a person, Earl, but you like his policies, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now we got the baseline. Yeah, give me yeah. that policy. Yeah. All right.
So anyway, man, you know, we're in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to be 2024.
Right on.
And these decisions are going to have to be made. And going back to what I was harping on at the beginning of the show with Donald Trump, there'll be a lot more conversation about what he said yesterday, because there's so many people who didn't watch it. But tomorrow will be a big day to be talking about Donald Trump and what he stands for, because people will have seen it and then they would have been as taken aback as I was,
right?
By a lot of those things he had to say.
I just couldn't justify listening to another segment of the same kind of rhetoric. So I took a pass on it, but I know it's kind of getting a lot of time, and we're probably going to talk a little bit more about it tomorrow. It's just, you know, damn it. I mean, I just wish there could be some sort of message. An epiphany is what I called it earlier. Like, you know what? I can't go there. You know, I don't care what it is. The guy's just wrong. He's wrong for the country, you know?
Well, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is he good? Is he good for the country?
Well.
And not for a handful of people.
Yeah.
But for the majority of the people.
Right.
And so, you know, that, like yesterday, a guy called and wanted to know why I'm not talking about Hunter Biden and the Biden family. And it's the biggest story. And, hey, man, you know, I don't, and this is just the honest truth, you got to tell me about what's happening with Hunter Biden and the Biden family, because it is clear, man, I have not spent a whole hill of beans worried about the Biden family and what Hunter Biden has done, and the big guy did this and the big guy did that. I don't know, man. And so if it comes out that all those things are true, anybody who knows me knows if the Democrats aren't right, I'm gonna say the same thing to them.
You know, if he broke the law, Earl, then he gets prosecuted and he has to take his, you know, lumps. But you know, explain to me, please, somebody, explain to me what public office Hunter Biden held. Just please enlighten me, okay? Let's move on from that whole thing. And until there's, you know, something that can be justified in that arena, it's just, you know, it's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah, you know, man, I will say this. We're at a point in the nation, time is moving so fast, and why is it that when we get older, time flies? it does, man. And I think it's because time is shorter for us.
Yeah, I think you put more value on it. That's why it goes faster. It's like, man, there goes that. Wow, that was fast.
Well,
you know?
Well, yeah, man, because it's almost June.
Yeah.
Into, you know, next year being a presidential election again already.
Right.
It seemed like we just came out of that.
Yeah.
Right? That seemed like yesterday.
Dude, I hear you.
4 years later.
Right? Just feels like election fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of that is just like, wow, here we go again. It's already booting up. You know, it's been going on.
You know, man, that it's, and it's just the fact that, you know, it hardly seems that we've taken a pause to see what has transpired in the last 3 years, 4 years, and yet we're back here 4 years later, you know, or soon to be 4 years later, and we're back at it again, and we're not talking about, you know, Joe Biden or Donald Trump. I mean, we're talking about Joe Biden and Donald Trump again, man. It's 3 years later. I don't think any of us ever thought we would be talking about the next president being Joe Biden or Donald Trump ever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but we're at that point, man. We got to change it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know where I was yesterday, Johnny?
Where were you, boss?
I was at the hardware store.
Nice.
And buying flowers to put to plant.
At the hardware store? Oh, I get you. Oh, bulbs and seeds and stuff.
No. What do you call it? Like Home Depot? Is that called a home? Is that?
Yeah,
is that
sure. You count store? That as a. Yeah, it's a big box hardware store. Yeah. I got you. Okay.
And they,
all right,
and they
check.
Sell,
yep.
And they sell, yep, the, yep, flowers and plants that you put in the ground.
Yeah, right? They got some good stuff there.
And sure. And so, is it too early?
No. No, my gal bought flowers. Yeah.
She, to put out already?
Yeah. Yeah, bought, yeah, some baskets. Over, yeah, at Costco. They look
so
great.
So it was so nice yesterday, man, that that's what I did, man. I started going to get the flowers and put the flowers. You didn't know that an edgy guy like me would do flowers and those kind of
things. Dude, do you have a soft side? Are you a gentle, kind,
man,
loving
so,
human being,
so,
Earl?
So when I brought these flowers home, right, my wife looked at me like, whoa.
What do you want?
But, man, I enjoy doing that stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes the simplest things,
yep,
can bring you pleasure, right, in life. We deal with so many different stressed-out moments,
yep,
that being able, man, you know, planting flowers and gardening is a peaceful thing, right?
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%, man.
I think you do some of the kind of,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
right?
I do. I do a little vegetable thing because I'm I just love having my fresh ripe tomatoes, kind of right off the deck. And I got a buddy that has a little garden thing, and we help each other out a little bit. But anyway, yeah. So I'm with you, Earl.
So man, you do a good. You know, I remember you bringing the sweet. Little small sweet
cherry tomatoes. Yeah, it's right? From my buddy Dennis across the road.
Hey man, those are fantastic.
They were unbelievable. They're called, yeah, candy something.
Yeah,
candy.
They're not red, and they're orange or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever they are.
Oh my God, they were sweet.
The problem with when I would plant, you know, vegetables and vegetables. Which one is it? Vegetables.
Let's go vegetables.
Vegetables. That, yes, sounds, yeah.
And tomatoes technically a fruit. Try it real snickety.
And so you just have too many of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We had a pile.
And so what do you do, man? You can only eat so many tomatoes when it's time. You freeze tomatoes?
No, haven't done that.
Yeah. But you wish you could, because the alternative is when you like tomatoes, then you have to go in the store.
Yeah.
And get that stuff that they call a tomato.
No, but I'll tell you what. Back in the day, my mom used to can tomatoes and a bunch of other stuff. So right. I'll tell you, that was a nice treat. Dead of winter, you go downstairs and get a can of tomatoes and, you know, make chili or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I'm with you.
But the stuff that they, you know, during the winter, and I want a nice tomato. I can't even buy a tomato during the winter.
Yeah, it's plastic.
Yeah. So when you do get a chance, and it's nice and warm, and you get a chance in this window to plant them and get a chance to have them, it just doesn't last long enough, the opportunity.
Right on. It's good for the soul. I saw you moving your hands like you're planting and doing that kind of thing. And I know our buddy Gene that's coming up here is a big gardener. You know, for me, it's just a nice activity. Kind of clears the head, kind of wipes the slate clean a little bit, you know, kind of unplug a little. So, yeah, I like doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, man, so the one thing that I like about the flowers so much, is, man, just the beauty of it, right?
Yeah.
We take that stuff for granted, right? Yeah. And so, man, as I'm looking around, and then, you know, I like the exotic kind of stuff too. And that stuff doesn't come out yet, right? That stuff will be coming out sometime in June. These are the early flowers, right?
Right, right, right.
And I don't think I've ever planted any flowers this early. I generally, but just because it was so nice outside, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's because it was so nice outside. I said I'd get out and start doing it.
Earl, do you have daffodils at your house?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So they've got to be up and running and kind of on their way out already.
They're out already.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Let's just bring them on. Hey, good morning. How are you? Who am I speaking with?
This is Brian.
Hey, Brian. How you doing, sir?
How you doing, Brian?
Good.
You got a green thumb, too?
No, I guess I'm calling a little late. I was hoping to make a comment on the
go ahead.
The CNN debacle yesterday.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's come on with it. What do you got?
Well, from what I saw and what I heard, when they were asking Trump about the the debt limit and that whole thing coming up.
Sure.
And he didn't seem to care. He says, I'm not president, so I don't care. It's not on my dime.
Well, imagine that.
For someone who wants to be president, you should care, have a little more concern for our country than that.
Well, and the other part about it is she asked him a question about, well, you know, you cared about it. They raised the debt ceiling 3 years in a row with you. And what are your thoughts? And he looked at her, and he with that smug look on his face, and he said, I was president then. In other words, that's why I cared. Now I'm not president. I really don't care. That's basically what he said.
Yeah, and it just blew me away. I'm just like, and, you know, even if he wasn't, you know, he's not the president, obviously, but he should care more. He should be contacting the Republican mega people and whoever is on his side and just say, listen, you know, there's some things that have to come first.
So let me ask you, Brian, because I said this earlier in the top of the show. Doesn't it surprise you that people who support that man accept that kind of foolishness?
Oh, they care more about themselves than anything else in their party.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, even his wife had a coat on the back of it that said, I don't care. Really, I don't care. Do you? You know, it's just a kind of a philosophy in that whole family.
So, Brian, man, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. Thank you, my man, Johnny Watermelon. Thank everybody. Tiffany, thank you.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Eager Show. Enjoy the sun. See you later.